It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello and welcome to the Middlesex County Cricket League podcast. My name's Dan Hart from Twickenham. Very pleased to be talking about lots of cricket with my fellow traveller, Salman Ali from North London. Sal, how are you?
Dan, I'm slightly envious, mate, actually, to tell the truth. I'm sitting home in London, a bit drab, in one of my favourite cities, Sin City, Vegas. What takes you out there?
Yeah. Well, my two boys are seven. I thought it was about time, Sal. Let them loose.
Yeah.
You know, get them on the slots.
Yeah.
Or maybe I've got a work due in Los Angeles later this week and we thought we'd come out a bit early and do a bit of a road trip. So it's interesting you say the weather's drab. Let me assure you, Sal, that if there were a game of cricket on in Las Vegas today, it won't be rained off. Okay. We are not having any issues with rain. It's about 10 o'clock in the morning here and it's 42 degrees. So yeah, it's a tad on the warm side. Plenty of sunblock needed. I gather on Saturday in Middlesex, it wasn't 42 degrees. I was away on Saturday, or obviously following all the games as much as I could, which is very easy with all the streams that are out there. But it wasn't 42 degrees, was it? Was it a bit wet?
Yeah, a bit wet. Bit sort of thunder and lightning came to the party on Saturday. Lots of games DNS or run rate affected. Some games called off or abandoned. Some games got to the end. So yeah, it was one of them weekends that it's sort of been the theme, hasn't it, this season? And more of it. So I'm just really, really hoping fingers crossed that this Saturday, I'm not, the day this started to be very quiet. So they obviously know. They've not had any front page headlines about heat waves, etc. That's been concerning for me. I'm just hoping we just get one weekend, because this Saturday is going to be Super Saturday or Sad Saturday for clubs, because there's so much at stake still to play for. And in a way, I suppose, with the weather, how it's been, with games called off, you know, they are titles normally clinched early on, you know, week 17, for instance, some divisions on. But this season, with the weather, how it's been, it's had an impact, hasn't it, on the league title race. So in a good way, it's kind of made things more exciting, but it's hoping it doesn't pop up again on Saturday.
And I think you're dead right there about lots to play for. I mean, we're certainly not going to be able to cover every game that was played last Saturday, because there's so much to talk about with so many divisions, because there's a lot still on the line. And, you know, all we would ask for is, please, cricket gods, weather gods, but bear with us just for one more week so we can get this sorted out in week 18 and give teams a good end to the season. One thing I was going to say before we crack on to some of those, you know, fantastic games, because we're right in the prem, you know, we've got a showdown, winner-takes-all showdown to talk about. A couple of games I noticed in week 17, so I'm just going to get these out there. Cricket, right? You know, what a comically ridiculous sport it can be. I'm going to start in a place I don't usually start. I'm going to start in, I think I'm right in saying, it is it's the third tier, Division 5B, I think it is. And why would I start there? Well, I don't know if you picked up on this one, Sal, but we had an odd one. And you're like this as an umpire. Highgate 5s travel to Willow Leather 3s. All right? And Willow Leather 3s, they're going for the title. And they boshed it. And they were 317 for 5. Okay? Highgate 5s, 74 all out. All quite straightforward. Highgate 5s struggling a bit. And therefore, Willow 3s win by an absolute avalanche. Or do they? Because we had an issue here, Sal. That if you look closer at the scores, Willow Leather 3s were 317 for 5 off 31.3. So what they've basically done is declared. Now, of course, in time cricket, in all-day cricket, you can declare whenever you want. In limited overs cricket, you can't. Now, the merits of that rule, you know, we can discuss, but that's not really where I'm going with this. You just can't at the moment. And so there's an issue here. They've contravened the rules. And as things stand, I think the game actually is not going to go down as a Willow Leather 3's win. It's going to go down as a match abandoned. Now, I thought that was intriguing. I thought that if Willow Leather 3's had contravened the rules, you give the game to Highgate 5's. But it doesn't look that way on the County League website. Now, there is a way around this, Sal, isn't it? And you'll know this as an umpire. Willow Leather 3's haven't played this very cleverly, have they?
You did mention this, Sal, didn't you? Coming on the air and out.
They can do that now, can't they? You cannot opt to retire not out unless you're injured. if you retire in any other way, then you retire out. So, I mean, you feel for the stats of number 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, but if you really wanted to declare, then you retire 5 batters and carry on, right? So it goes from 317 for 5 to 317 all out. And I guess no one will have ever thought of this one, because they're gonna lose their, you know, lose their 10 points on account of it. Have you ever seen anything like that before? People trying to retire in limited overs cricket?
Never at all, Dad. No, that's a new one.
No, I had a vague recollection of, and I'm not making this up, there was a T20 against Wickham House maybe 10, 12 years ago, where I think Twickenham were 200 odd off 18 overs, and some bloke called Nunes kept losing cricket balls, and it was getting dark, and we'd only had 18 overs of the first innings. And so I think there was an agreement that our innings would end at 18, and then Wickham House would have half a chance of batting in some light. So I think basically Twickenham declared then, even though they probably said that they probably used other terms, but that's the nearest I've got to this. So if teams are listening and you want to get your innings over with, then go for the retire out option in limited overs cricket. Another, oh well, we'll get to the second anomaly, Sal, a bit later. And it's amazing what you can follow, even though you're, you know, 8 time zones away in Las Vegas. But there was another strange incident in Division 5, which I'll get to. We'll start, though, in the Prem. Where do we begin? Where do you want to kick off?
Now, I want to speak as if the weather's going to be good on Saturday and there's no rain or any other conditions that make games cancelled or abandoned. So, for instance, yeah, we now have 2 left in the shootout if there is no bad weather, which is a big if at the moment. We'll see how we are. However, at the moment as it stands, Stanmore will host North Middlesex at the Common on Saturday. Whoever wins that will be the league champions in the Premier League this season, just due to the fact they're playing each other, which means the teams behind them can't catch them, who are Bronzebury, Shepherd's Bush, Crouch End. This comes about with a great win for Stanmore. DLS affected game, obviously. They had some rain, so the conditions obviously meant they had to come off. Stanmore had a really good start, 2-2-1 for the first wicket. Aaron Sarwan, one of the young lads, I actually umpired him last week. Really exciting young talent. I think he's under 17 even now. Maybe, yeah, under 17. Scored 100. Steve Ryan goal 114. 283 off 48 overs. The innings adjusted targets 191 for off 24. Look, down on out, despite Nick Taylor scoring 53. However, Robbie Connolly trying to turn the game in his head. Flurry boundaries, took the game to the final over. However, Abhishek, he's played for Stanmore for years. He's played in minor national county cricket. So he's an experienced cricketer, knows what he's doing. Despite that, it was his first league game of the season. He had to bowl the last over. Held his nerve to see the 7-run win, which now sets up this fascinating and exciting clash on Saturday. And that comes around as well due to your guys, Dan. Your guys played their part, didn't they? I know they're down, but it's a great example of a side still giving their all, you know, not down until as the season's almost ended. Still going out with a bang, as you might say. And Twickenham, great result for you guys away at North Middlesex. North Middlesex from star side lineup, you know, they had 4 guys have played or played professional cricket. I know you had Blake Cullen in your side as well. However, North Mid did post a decent score, 245 for 9 off their 50 overs. But with the rain affected again, the DLS target for you guys became 169 off 25, which is not easy, but obviously you have 10 weeks in hand, so that gives you that sort of start, doesn't it? And then just a matter for a moment. Yet again, Carlos Nunes comes to the party, 65 or 59 balls, aided by Don Manuel, G47 or 41 balls, and you guys got home the last over. So as we stand at the moment, the point situation is North Bend 91, Stanmore 88. So as I said, weather good, then we've got title shootout at the Common taking place.
Yep. And I've just looked at the BBC. I mean, a Daily Star is the Oracle, we know this, but I've just looked at the BBC website as well. Does look like it'll be okay on Saturday and on Friday as well. So fingers crossed there is a game of cricket to be played there. And yeah, I mean, if anybody ever questions the integrity of our league, then, you know, Twickenham beat Ealing last week. And if Ealing had beaten us, then they would have been very much in this title race. And we wouldn't have this winner-takes-all shootout because Ealing would be second in the table. So that's one thing. And then, you know, 4 contracted players at North Mid on Saturday. And we had, I guess, arguably our strongest team out, but we've had our strongest side out most of the season. So I think it's good news for the league that a team that's already relegated is not just rolling over and saying, well, we don't really care, whatever. You can win if you want. You know, they turned up. And we've also had good games against North Mid through the years. I don't know why, but it's been a particularly good set of fixtures for both sides, you know, entertaining contest. So just pleased to see that we're, you know, we're going down with a bit of a bang. And of course, we could have, well, we will have a say in who goes down as well, won't we? Because we're playing Finchley this week.
You are indeed. I mean, they've had history with both. It's had very good sort of junior setups in the past, bringing through Celtic, first class cricket, and even obviously played in their ones. Good season there, young guys. Sam Warner, the 19th, won the T20 trophy, the under 20 North Mid under 17th, won the Youth Cup and the County Cup, and they're also aiming for another treble this week, playing Richmond in another cup. So it's kind of fitting in a way that two sides that obviously invest a lot in junior cricket, promote the youngsters when they feel they're ready to play first class, first 11 cricket, are benefiting from that. So if you look at both the 11, they are littered with some very good young players. So in a way, it's quite a nice fitting ending, I think, personally, for me looking at that. We've got two sides who do work hard in the junior section. And lots of adults, obviously, behind the scenes who play their part will be hopefully watching one of the young guys that they've been on Saturday.
Absolutely. But both teams littered with good young cricketers. And we all know their junior networks are Rolls Royces, really. And it wasn't always us. I mean, Evan Flowers once said to us, you know, on this pod that, you know, 15 years ago, North Mid was quite a different club to what it is now. And that doesn't happen by accident. So respect due to them. I mean, I won't be able to get there on Saturday, but if anyone is around, then Stanmore Common is the place to be. Although, as I say, there's plenty of cricket to be played at the bottom of the table as well, isn't it? Hampstead and Finchley will be fighting it out to stay in the league.
Yeah, Finchley was one of the games that was abandoned Saturday, but he was playing Bronsbury, Brandon after Finchley's innings. Finchley's posted 274/6, 50s for Joe Manuel and Matt McGowan, another young, exciting young player they've got in the ranks. However, no second innings for Bron, so game abandoned, which. Now, from what I gather, they did really well to get on at Hampstead. I saw a couple of images online of just like huge puddles almost like at the ground, monsoon-like conditions. But they were patient. They waited. Hampstead posted 173 all out. DLS target was set for Crouch End. 20 overs of 109. They got their 5 down. So it now means, as you mentioned, Dan, second relegation spot is a shoot. A scenario that could happen here where both sides end up level on points. What we are going to say here is we've looked at the constitution and the league's regs. I would urge everyone on Saturday who's involved in a kind of situation like that, or you actually, if you're not, look at the league constitution. It'll give you information and what happens if teams finish level on points in championship.
I think that's really, exactly. It's really important. I mean, unless, don't go ringing Nick Brown up. I don't know why Nick even keeps his phone on Saturday afternoons anymore. It's in the constitution. Constitution's searchable. You know, you can find it quite easily on your phone. So that's the place to look. There is, I mean, I don't want to mention this, I'm a better ad. There is a scenario where neither North Mid or Stanmore could win the league though, right?
Exactly, yeah. Well, if it rains, obviously.
Yeah.
If it rains. If their game, well, or any other weather comes into play, if their game's abandoned or not, doesn't get played, they're able to get 3 points each. Now, Crouch End, probably.
So Bronsbury played Teddington.
Yeah, Bronsbury's still in there. They could have a chance to win it, obviously. They win their game. And if Bush play Hampstead, so Bush beat Hampstead, then they've got a chance. I think Crouch, I'm not sure, look at the permutations for them. They might have a chance, but I'm not sure if they've been personally speaking up and looked at it. However, as I said, it's not a foregone conclusion that those two will win it just due to the weather we've had recently and how it might come. If it stays dry and they get a full game in, then one of those will become champions. If it doesn't happen, then someone could sneak in the back door and become crown champions.
Oh, yeah. Please just don't let it
rain. Exactly.
That's a shambles of a scenario, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. I'm with you on that.
Yep. Cool. So where's your money in terms of which side's going to go down?
Good question.
You think, I mean, obviously not, Twickenham won the last two against very good sides.
I don't take sides here, I suppose, but if North Mid turn up the side out on Saturday, you know, Michael Hogan, Evan Flowers is back, hopefully, Luke Coleman, Cracknell, Harris, all these big names, Brandon Spar, they're all kind of, you know, played at a good level one league.
Been there, done that. With
Stanmore are kind of like, they've always been, I don't know, just a good solid Premier Division club. Run really, really well. I'd personally, for the Rheingolds, because they've done so much with this cricket, like Steph, what she does, and Mark, and the years he's played, and his boys are playing in the club now as well. Captain, actually, Grant. I think it'd just be a nice story if Stanmore won it, just because I'm sure if you asked any person, apart from people at Stanmore, who were in the league, they would not be put by anyone. And I'd be one of them as well. I'm not up and admit that.
Not so long ago, they're in Division 1.
Well, exactly, you're right, yeah. So I think it'll be a nice story for Stanmore. And it was good to have new winners, I suppose. Norfolk won it, I think, 3 or 4 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. It will be a good sort of example to set other clubs that it can be done. As I said, the hardest thing I'm thinking is obviously retaining the title, winning back-to-back, because Teddington fan of the season, that's so tough. Just goes to show about what a good side Ealing were back in the day, winning it 7 times in a row. But for me, if you're looking at sort of matchups of individual players on both sides, North would probably edge it, just in what players they have. But I think it'll be a lovely little sort of situation if Stanmore got over line. And also they're playing at home, so I'm sure there'll be quite a big part to take in place. I'm sure Steph's really on the coaching mode already, working out what's going to take place and who's going to, you know, sure they'll get fed really, really well.
It's so, all going to pan out. Yeah. And at the bottom, Sal, what are you thinking? Obviously, Finchley played Twickenham. Hampstead played Shepherd's Bush. I think this is, obviously, we've been Nealing and North Midden the last 2 weeks, and the side's going to be roughly the same again. So given the way we've played this season, I expect Finchley will win. Because we're not being very good against the sides who are at the bottom. But, I mean, in all seriousness, I reckon I wouldn't be putting too much money on either way on that, because it's a tight one.
Yeah, but you're at home, Dan. And I always feel like the Green Yaw can be a different sort of side when you're playing away. Although they did win last week against North Bush away.
And Hampstead go to the Bush? Yeah. Is that, does that make a difference?
Bush are going to be pushing for a win to finish as high as they can. You know, they can actually finish second, can't they? Because
They can win the title, mate. They can win the title if it rains.
Exactly. They'll be pushing to get another high finish. So, you know, as you said, we know the integrity of the league and how sides keep playing to the final ball spot in the season. So I think that should be both news, really.
That is possible.
Come down to, you know, the bonus point situation.
Yeah. Well, if they both lose and Finchley lose close, we've been here before, haven't we? Yeah. Like, it's like Groundhog Day.
And Bronner's not. Bronner's not having, but they've got a tough game hosting Tellington, who will obviously want to finish season well as well. So, yeah, there's so much to play for season. Fascinating.
Yep. Absolutely. Plenty going on there, as there is in Division 1. I mean, Hornsey are home and host, and they are home and host as champions. They have 116 points. And that's, even though their game was abandoned, they were in a good position, weren't they? They were 218-2 against Southgate. But their game was abandoned on Saturday. But they've gone. They'll be in the Premier Division next year. So congratulations to Jeffrey Patel and all the boys there at Hornsey. Not yet clear who's going to be going up with them, Sal. Richmond look like they're in the best position, I guess.
Well, they're in second place. So you'd think it's in their hands. It really isn't it, I suppose. Saturday was sort of flip-flopping because Hornsey won quite early. I think it was done their game. So I'm sure it was all eyes on Barnes. And credit to Richmond. I mean, they fantastic chase. Barnes 266-4. Set a DLS target, I think, at 247 around that mark. 20 or something. I think under 30 overs, actually. It wasn't even that many overs, really. But they really well.
They boshed it.
Yeah, Adam London, skipper, leading from the front, scored 76, not out. And Kitchen, he's a really good sort of club man, I suppose. He just played where he's asked, I suppose. He's played in the twos, plays in the ones, rocks up and plays in the ones and scores a impressive innings of 68. Bit unfortunate for Barnes, because Michael Wall scored 125, not out. Luke Adams, 62. Yeah, so the target was 248 of 31 overs, which is impressive chase. So on the basis of that, they are now back in the hot seat. Harris at Mary's disposed obviously quite early, as I said, 1 by 5 wickets. So they did their bit, but unfortunately for them, Richmond won their game and now are back in that second promotion space.
Yeah. And neither you guys nor Winchmore Hill will have been in any way overjoyed at having yours rained off, right? Winchmore Hill need the points just as much as you do.
We might have been at half time seeing where we were, though. 108 all out wasn't the best score for us.
Well, yeah. Take it back. I take it back. I misread that. I thought you were 103-3.
108 all out, mate, which wasn't great. So I think which will probably be more disappointed the two sides. Yeah, so again, this is a situation with this side. So if Harris St. Mary's win and we beat Richmond, Harris St. Mary's go up. We beat Richmond and Harris St. Mary's lose, we go up. If Richmond beat us, they go up. So there's your kind of scenarios dealt with there.
Southgate, who play at St Mary's, well, they could go up a place in mid-table if they win, but they're certainly not going down, so not a lot to play for. As I said last week, though, so I'm not sure that makes much difference. They could turn up, no pressure on, you know, and you know, sometimes people do strange things when the pressure's on.
And they're beating early on in the season at their pace as well, so they might want to sort of complete the double.
Absolutely. And if you look at the bottom, Winchmore Hill go to Acton, and Barnes are playing Hornsey. Yeah. So I guess there's still plenty for Winchmore Hill to keep going out there.
It is, won't be easy, though, because Acton are now in the final of the League Cup, which we'll mention later on. So they'll want to be prepped for that game. So I'm sure they'll be going into that game. We're all sort of focused towards the Cup final as well. And again, they're a good side at home. Traditionally do well. Now, it's a question Saturday, which Hornsey turn up? I know there was a few drinks on Saturday night. And they're sort of taking their foot off the pedal as the season ends. They're champions as well. So what else is there to achieve apart from getting a win, maybe? So of the two, you probably want to be Barnes, I suppose. But again,
I guess you would, simply because they have got that 2-point advantage. I think the sides like Hornsey, they play good cricket all season. They've been really successful. And I suspect that they'll just turn up and play, and that they'll turn up and play pretty well, because that's what they've done all year. So I think getting one over on Hornsey will be tricky. But even then, Barnes have got their 2 points, and it's just always good to have the points in the bag, isn't it?
It is. And as you said, and I think being at home sometimes does help in these situations.
Yeah. Now, if we move in Division 2, am I right in saying, Sal, that you were party to a party on Saturday night at Kenton?
I got out at the right time, I think. got very
maybe a sensible choice.
I was hung around for a couple of hours. Yes, I was at Kenton, Brent from Saturday, Kenton, easy winners. We were actually quite lucky the weather. 10 minutes of rain, but we had a bit of thunder and lightning, so we had to just make sure we dealt with that situation correctly. But Brentford were not the races, really, 116 all out. And a wicket, which was not 116, you easy 200 plus on that track. You know, Ken's a small ground as well. Credit to the Kenton attack, did in the side, took three up top. And then Charles Erdwin, who's been around for a while, I said to him, almost called him a veteran. He's only 32, bless him. He's a lovely guy. He's been a Kenton stalwart for years. Just does what's asked of him, real sort of true club man. So really good to see him taking 4 wickets, Kenton guys. So Kenton got the job done just before, I think, around 5 o'clock. Then the next step was to go into the bar. Jim Carter playing Wickham House. So Jim Carter at the time was second, Wickham House a third. There was a live stream of the game in the clubhouse. So the equation here was, if Jim Carter won, then Kenton go up with Jim Carter. If Wickham House won and took less than 5 wickets, if Wickham House won and Jim Carter took less than 5 wickets because there was Bowen second, then Kenton go up straight away. Now, if Wickham House won and Jim Carter took more than 6 wickets, then it will be going into the final week. So there's a few notes.
Well, I mean, this is all complicated, isn't it? I like this, though.
The great bit was the interaction between the players, who one was saying one and another was saying something. Neither could actually come to the conclusion what should take place. But they did work out in the end. So anyway, so we come to Wickham House needing, I think, 2 or 3 to win. And they're 5 down. Kidder Khan's facing. And he tries a reverse sweep. And the moaning groans and the semi heart attack that took place when that happened was hilarious for me, because I'm a neutral. But these guys are having nightmares, almost like screaming. What are you doing? Play the reverse. We just get the game done. Anyway, the appeal went up as well, and it wasn't given out. And the next ball to try and do, that's exactly the same thing. But she makes contact, hits the ball, I think, to the boundary. Cue while celebration in the Kenton clubhouse. The guys are having a great time. Like Shops was there. We'll see Cowfish. Credit. I mean, well done to the guys. It's back-to-back promotions. It's a great effort to win.
That's impressive. And back-to-back promotions, always impressive.
2 seasons in a row. Back in Div 1 after being out there for such a long time from that level of cricket. They've done really well as a club. Some obviously very good players in their team as well. So congratulations to Kenton, Cowfish, and everyone else associated with the club. There was a bit of a party taking place, as you can gather. I got out at the right time. I was sent. I saw some videos later on the next day, and there was obviously a few sore heads being nursed.
You're a wise man, Sal. You're a wise man. We're beyond that sort of nonsense.
But again, a very, very hospitable club. They really look after really well there. Do feel a bit for Brentford. They're going through a bit of a sticky time at the moment. So they're now involved in a real sort of dogfight at the bottom now.
So at the top then, so Wickham House are 5 points ahead of Indian Gym. And Indian Gym, as you say, now 11 behind Kenton. That's why Kenton are up.
Yeah.
So in terms of this week's fixtures, Wickham House have got Enfield at home. Okay, that'll be a fixture that they'll, you know, that's a better than average fixture to have on the last day of the season if you're Wickham House. Whereas Indian Gym travel to Brentford, which is, again, not a bad fixture to have. So I guess we're thinking it may well be 2 wins out of 2 there, and that'd be Wickham House up, right?
I think of the two again, only because they're obviously in the hot seat and it's the last game of the season. Though I think Tony said would be a row because I think Spurs are away that day. So,
well, that's a big deal.
Yeah. He's going to be a key wicket to get out. So that's Wickham House at Enfield. I just looking at Brentford, they did look a bit sort of, I don't know, not on their knees, you'd say, but they did look like captain really has to really, you know, inspire the team to get themselves up again for the game too. So, you know, as you said, Wickham House hold that sort of trump card at the moment. I think they'll have enough to get the game done with and won. And also they'll be going back to back as well. So they'll be joining Kenton who went up last season as well. So that just goes, so what would the work out on that? Both clubs are really good, obviously. So I'm going to pin my badge on Wickham House in that situation.
I think that's a fair call, Sal. I think that's the way I go. Again, the very fact it's all in their own hands. Although, and I mean this in the nicest possible way, Wickham House, there's always the potential for drama with Wickham House. There's a bang collapse around the corner somewhere. But having said that, you know, they had 2 brilliant seasons and they got some good players. So I think, you know, the betting man would expect them to ultimately come through. But I got a feeling it ain't going to be straightforward. I think this is not going to be a straightforward path.
That point you made, yeah, I think under Hamza's sort of regime, there's a lot more professionalism in that club now. I just get the sense that with him at the helm, they just do things a little bit differently now to maybe the past. A bit more professional, a bit more sort of dour, a bit more sort of fight amongst the side. They've got Dennis Smith as well, who we spoke about 2 weeks ago. He came in Saturday and batted really well. His innings was fantastic because it really just changed the flow of the game. You know, you've got guys played professional cricket back in the Caribbean playing for you as well. So I just think there's a different look about them. And obviously that shows what they've done this season in terms of the league position. And I think they'll just have enough to go up and to get one.
Yep, I hear you. If we look at Division 3, we have not just a promoted side, we have a champion side. Old Eyes are Worthians. I know 13 points clear, aren't they? They'll be over the moon with that because they, like Kenton, like Wickham House, are two promotions in two. So congratulations to the guys there. They've done, you know, done some fantastic work. And they won the title with a rather odd-looking win against K-Plus, didn't they?
Yeah, and these games tend to be quite a nice scoring game. Obviously, DLS again came into play. Bold K plus up for 89 and got their target of, I think it was 60-odd and started 20 overs. So this division of all the divisions for me is the one that's the most fascinating because MTS, CC are relegated. That's confirmed. They also play all their games now. So there's obviously an odd number of sides in that division due to Towns pulling out. You've got 9 sides in the division, one of which is relegated, one of which is not playing on Saturday. All the other 8, I mean, odds where things are up, but all the other 4 fixtures have something on them because it does mean the teams that are playing each other have a chance of going up. So AP play Trailfinders, AP can still go up. K plus play London Tigers. London Tigers could actually sneak in the back door somehow or another here, but it does need things to go drastically wrong in other games for the home side to try to go up. I was aware with play Actonians who are in 3rd place. Actonians win that game, they could go up. And then you've got SKLPC play Chiswick. Chiswick could also still go up. So again, you've got 4 fixtures there. Also be riding them games.
Yeah, but I mean, that really is a situation where, you know, you can imagine the live streams are going to be all over the place, aren't they, following what's going on around the county. Because, I mean, looking at AP are 5th, and you would expect normally that there's no chance if you're 5th, but they play a side that's above them, which is a massive help. That's Ealing Trailfinders. So if they beat them, that's Ealing Trailfinders out of the equation. Or is it? Actually, because they're bonus 8 points behind the trail fine.
Bonus points could come into it, couldn't it? Depends on wickets taken and run score, and I think, in terms of proportion to what they're trying to chase. Yeah, but so
watch out. I'm going to keep out of this one. Yeah. I'm just going to watch and see what happens. Yeah. There are so many permutations.
This one, I cannot pick someone who I think is going to come second. Yeah, let's say this, but that would definitely be one where I think Squid will be refreshed continuously on Saturday on mobile phones.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm at a work do on Saturday in LA. So I'm obviously 8 hours behind, but I'm at the top of work do where I can definitely get the laptop open and follow this in quite some detail. So all good. Okay, so much for Division 3. And as you say, we've sorted out the relegation there because poor old Tower Hamlets have gone and the Middlesex Titans will be in Division 4 next season. One team that definitely won't be there in Division 4, Friends United, a side I know that you know quite well. They've got the biggest margin at the moment between themselves and second. They are a whopping 37 points clear. Although they did have quite a close game on Saturday.
Yeah, it's had some another side who are trying to make the leap into Division 3 with Friends United. Close game here, 1-5-8, played 1-3-6, so a win for Friends United. As you mentioned, they've had a great season, 145 points, 17 games. Can they get to the 150-plus mark? I'm sure that'll be their target. But again, you've got a clutch of sides here. 3 teams there actually who are all vying for that second spot, and it's going to be again another Saturday, throwing another situation where we've got a division where there's games taking place which could all affect who comes second.
Yeah, I mean, West Tower are second on 108, aren't they? Besra are 3rd on 103. Besra, another end of season challenge for the promotion place. They're very good in the second half of seasons of late. And Edstone Manor 102, so there's only 6 points between them. None of them play each other. So they've all, it could be 3 wins out of 3, could be 3 losses out of 3 for all we know. But certainly that there's plenty of permutations that are possible there. I mentioned at the start of the show, Sal, that there was one, how does one put it? Unfortunate incident in this division on Saturday. And you know what kicked it off?
A
mancad. Although it wasn't a mancad in Middlesex.
No.
It was a mancad in the game between Pakistan and Afghanistan, which I think was a T 20,
yeah,
I think.
It was, yeah.
It was the last over, wasn't it? I don't know if did you see any of it?
Actually, no, I think it was a 50-over game, actually. I did look in the sub earlier on, Danny.
A 50-over game, okay.
Yeah, it was towards the end of the game, and it was Shadab Khan was run out of the non-striker's end, which did cause, obviously, the situation in this place. In the, I think it was in the car they started this sort of argument. Yeah. Was it something regarding...
So I hear that a number of the Hamelians guys have got Afghani roots, I mean, as is quite common. A lot of players who've got Afghani roots, in, and certainly at Twickenham, we've had a few over the years. And they're very unhappy with this Mankad decision. They were obviously all following the game. And an argument started amongst the players from Ealing Hanwellian, some of whom have got sort of Pakistani roots and clearly had different opinions to those who were supporting Afghanistan. And the argument basically got out of hand. Now, I don't quite know how out of hand, but certainly got out of hand to the extent where the players were very unhappy with each other. And those with Afghan roots refused to play. This is 20 minutes before the start of the game. They said, we're not playing with those guys, even though they're on our team. And they probably left and went home. So Ealing Hanwellians had 6 players, couldn't get any other players in, and therefore had no option but to concede the game, which is I'm sort of telling the story, in, I guess, in a slightly humorous way, because it is a bit bonkers, but... You know, it's a bit of a nightmare for Ealing Hanwellian. They've had a really problematic season. It's not great for Stoke Newington either, in a way, because they want to play a game of cricket. Although
that's doing a favour,
the win really does help them.
We're level with a few of those players who argued in the car because their game was called off. So they're sitting in ninth place now, 46 points. That was 10 points that Stoke Newington picked up, takes them to eighth place. If the players didn't argue and the game took place, who would have won the game? If they did lose the game to Stoke Newington, they'll be down towards the bottom, but now they have a chance to survival. So yeah, I think
that's dead right. If I was Willow Leather, I would not be amused at all. I mean, Mankad's caused controversy, we know that, but blinking heck, Mankad's in, you know, other continents causing controversy is a new one on me, and it could cost them their Division 4 status. And Willow Leather play Besborough on Saturday, so it's not as if they've got a gimme to try and get above Stoke Newington. No. Although Stoke Newington play Friends United, they definitely haven't got a gimme either.
And they're they're very strong at home. They play at Eton Grove's open space, which is a bit of a tricky wicket, and they know how to manage that wicket really well in terms of how their bowlers use it. I'm going to go for West Tower here because I think they've got Kamish Desai, who's lead legend, been around for a while.
Good player, yeah.
And they've got an overseas, I think, player called Kunal Kotavadi. He's 400 South, so he looks a very good player. If he comes to the party, then I think West Tower should beat Ned Collins and then take that second spot.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, I meant to ask you, Sal, I mean, just have you been given your umpiring allocation for the weekend yet? Do you know where you are?
Not yet. This evening, apparently, which is, we're recording Tuesday, aren't we, this week down?
Yep.
So yeah, it'll be on the website by the end of the week so people know who they can blame.
It's always someone else, isn't it, Sam? You know what it's like. It's always someone else. Cool. Well, Ealing Hanwellians then are going, so it'll be Willow Leather or Stoke Newington who join them. Division 5, well, promotion all sorted there. The best two sides are a long way clear. New Calypsonians and Pinner Challengers. It looked like Calypsonians, well, that they won pretty impressively, didn't they, the weekend against London Super Kings?
Yeah, so obviously in Division 5 and below, without panel umpires, it's run rate affected. Run rate decides. Came to obviously. On paper, the chase wasn't easy at all. They battled some flair. They battled some excitement. They don't hang around. London Super Kings 255 all out. Just the target was 199 from 35 overs. Didn't need 35 overs. New Calypsonians 205 for 2 or 26.1. 98 from Dwight, Daria, and Darshan, and the guy scored 15, I'm not out. So yeah, so the only situation there is in that top is who actually wins the league out of those two. So they're both fighting for that title. 4 points between Calypsonians and Pinner Challengers.
Now, I just realised we've missed something here.
We missed out.
Right, and it's about the relegation issues. Of course, we've forgotten. Division 3, Tower Hamlets have gone. So that means only one side is going to be relegated from Division 4. So here's us saying Willow Leather might go down as a result of it.
That's Div 4 then.
Yeah, but I think
Yes.
Yeah, because of the incidents in Division 3, there's a team you lost. So we're going to be making that team up with two sides going off from Division 4 and one down from Division 4. And that's the same in Division 5, Division 6. Okay. So strike that. You see, you know, some people, Sal, on a podcast would re-record that to make it look super smooth. And we keep it real on this one.
We make mistakes, it happens.
Absolutely. So Willow Leather, they will not have been happy with the incident leading Hanwellians, but it's not going to cost them their status in Division 4. Same in Division 5, United Sports, they've gone and Priory Park, well, even though they're ninth and they're 18 points behind Northwick Park, they won't be going. They'll be staying in Division 5.
Yeah.
The issue is, of course, who's going to win at the top? Where's your money? New Caledonians, Plymouth Challengers?
New Caledonians season, that's my tip to win the league, so I'm sick of bet on it. But they've got a tough fight against Northumberland Muslim, so probably in the other division, but in Parish, they've had a great run this season, haven't they? One last one, lots of runs. So that would be an easy game for them. It's at the Marsh as well, not a tricky wicket, I imagine. Whereas Plymouth Challengers are playing Pro Nations again, in fourth place. So, yeah, I'm a Caledonian mode from the start, and I'll stick with them.
Makes sense. And they've got that 4 points. They've got the advantage of if rain comes or if something else goes wrong, then they've got a second bite of the cherry there because they're ahead at the moment. So, okay. So I think that's a very sensible choice. Division 6, well, you got it right there, Sal, as well. Caledonians, top Division 5, your preseason prediction. The Stallions are back, if only by 1 point, from South Harrow, aren't they?
Well, at the moment they are, but who knows what happened this Saturday.
Saturday?
Yeah, they've turned up to the party eventually. So they're back to the top, 6 point win over Regent's Park. It's a very thin lead. That's only 1 point. They'll need to win on Saturday to confirm the title. And they have a tough one of the two. So South Harrow are in second place with 100 points. Quickly on to Stadium. 58, he scored for them. Took a moment inside 16. They were chasing Regent's Park, 120. Now South Harrow are the nearest challengers. They didn't hang around the eve. Obviously, the break was looming. And Norfolk Manor bowled them back for 100. Reached their target at 12.4 overs. So looking at Saturday's games, Stadiums are away to United Sporting Club, who are in fourth place. I think they but it's going to be again not needs to happen for them. Whereas Ealing Free Bridges, South Harrow are playing Harrow and Lenham, who are already relegated with 10 points. So of the two fixtures, if it was on the coupon, you're going to be ticking South Harrow as a winner, aren't you, straight away? Whereas Stadiums could be a little bit tricky for them, and they actually need to get some points. Ealing Free Bridges.
Yeah, they have. Yeah. I mean, and United Sporting Club are the one that I think are most interesting there because they lost on Saturday and they lost quite convincingly. They were 209 all out, CRS Cardinals 212 for 5. And that, you know, that means they got no points. So that they were top last week. And now it's looking like they're not even going to go up, let alone thinking about winning the title. So United Sporting Club have really, you know, that they're the ones who could miss out here. And they've been pretty competitive all the way through. So, you know, I want to feel a bit for them. This is cricket. It's the way it goes. But that's a big swing from being top to fourth in week 17. And, I mean, I think Ealing Three Bridges is very, very much in this. But my money is Stallions and South Harrow to ultimately come through. And that's probably where you are, right?
I'm hoping so. Yeah, because I predicted the league. So, yeah, that way you know when my prediction is correct, actually.
Good. Last but not least, this has been decided for quite some time, hasn't it, Division 7? We've got London Desperados running away with things.
Yeah, there were some dead rubbers on Saturday in this division. As you know, not every week these guys get to play. Two games we did have, one was abandoned, and the other one was concluded with Metadors beating Harleton. Right, Metadors getting beaten by Harleton Millers by 5 wickets. So doesn't really affect the top 2 places. Just tells us that Metadors will finish bottom.
They
finished now.
Well, I did notice that Bahani finish on Saturday against London Desperados. They're not going to be able to get past them, but we've got what clearly are the best two sides meeting in week 12. Good. Highs and lows, Sal, what did you pick out there?
We won the score on Saturday despite the weather that we had. So in the ones, high score in this game was actually abandoned. East Coast did post 2-7-4-3 against Enfield in Division 2. The lowest score, K+, so this is ones games, 89 all out against Old Eyes in Division 3. The highest score in the league.
That's a high-low score, that is.
Or one
game,
really
Yeah.
Highest score in the league altogether in terms of all the games played. This is a great effort. United Sports in Division 5 playing Bahani, second 11. United Sports 386 all out. Bahani 173 in reply. The lowest score was, unfortunately, again, they had a last rough couple of last year and things haven't really got much better this year. So I'm really hoping they can improve in the next few years. MTSSC, got that right, sorry, about the third time, paid Cratchen for 11, Division 1, all out for 29. MTSCC's innings included 7 ducks, which must be quite...
Ouch.
Quite rarity. But
that's going to hurt.
And Cratchen got there for loss of 1 wicket, and I think 4 overs, so that game must have been over by who knows what time. I would just imagine pretty early.
Yeah, you think so. It is also worth remembering, and this is not something I enjoy bringing up, but we noticed it with our fifth 11 on Saturday, that if Sy, and there's been quite a few games conceded, as there will be, there's lots of cricket around and lots of teams have lots of clubs, but if a side concedes five games or more in a season, then their record is automatically expunged.
Yeah.
And I know of at least two sides who are on four at the moment. And we saw a side, I think it was Perivale Phoenicians fours in division, what would it be, 5B of the third tier. They cried off this week. Their record was expunged. And I mean, it's sad for the players who play, but the thing with Perivale fours, and this is just an example of what can happen, they've won about half their games and then lost about half of their games. And so, of course, points get reallocated once a side goes from the league. And Twickenham's fifth 11 in that division went from, I think it was fifth, to second. And, you know, nosebleeds everywhere because the fifths, they're really not, you know, they didn't expect to be anywhere near a promotion position at the start of the season. And so keep an eye on the league table is where I'm going with this, and keep an eye to see if any sides do go, because it can have massive effect on what the league table looks like, particularly if they've won a few games before they ultimately were disbanded. And one of the other sides in that division, Division 5B, Southampton, are a side who've conceded four games. So, you know, if Southampton can't play at the weekend, there may be yet more changes to the league table. And it's worth knowing before you start your game on Saturday, I'd have thought, right?
Definitely. Yeah. Check it out.
Yeah, keep checking. Paul Smith does a brilliant job of the website. Keep checking the website. Have a look at it about 11 o'clock on Saturday so you're 100% sure what you need to do. Elsewhere, Sal, cup action around?
Yeah, so Acton are in the League Cup final, as I mentioned earlier. So they'll be playing Ealing at Ealing's Corfton Road on September the 9th, Saturday, September the 9th. I mean, I think Halsey boys are probably still quite hungover from the celebrations they had the night before. They was all out for 104, chasing 100, Acton's 170. And we already know the finalists for the trophy. That will be Harrowtown hosting Indy Gymkhana. As I said, both games will take place on the 9th of September. So we're in the era, locked down. I'm sure they'll both be really good games of cricket.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we might do a little bit more on those games next week,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
Because those cup finals are good days.
Very good day.
We'll be running through what to expect with those fixtures. Then, good stuff. Sal, any more cricketing
just want
responsibility?
To add, I have actually. Okay. Just before we go out, so to check any issue mentioned earlier about retiring batters out, if you want to check on that 25.4, there are scenarios in when you're given not out and when you're given out in terms of retiring. So if you do plan to do anything regarding that in the future as a player or as a team, read up on that first and you know how to put it down in the scorebook in terms of how you're out or if you're not out. So that's 24.5.
The rule of thumb is that you can only retire But you can only retire not out if you're injured, right? You can't decide to retire. That's the key thing.
Exactly what it says. It says you may retire at any time during the season when the ball is dead. But again, it tells you what reasons constitute you being retired not out and what gives you being retired out.
Cool.
Illness or any other reward causes, normally obviously retired not out.
Yeah.
That's retired for any other reason, then Bob stated retired out. So if the guys were to retire on Saturday, well, they said, I'm injured, or I don't want to bat anymore, I'm bored. I don't know, you know, it depends on how you word, I suppose.
But I think if you say, look, I just don't want to bat,
yeah,
then the umpire would say, well, you know, you're going to be retired out, you can't.
Yeah, no, you're right. So, but also, the umpires have been the players that they wouldn't, I suppose. So, just for some clarity, you can check that 25.4. Yeah.
So if anyone's thinking of declaring on Saturday, don't, because that's not the way forward. Cool. Good. Well, have a good week, Sal.
Yeah.
Enjoy the rain.
Yeah, enjoy the rain. I'm very envious.
I'll try my best. Yeah. And we will definitely reconvene to talk, to sweep everything up and to try and work out who's going where for the 2024 season, I guess, early next week.
Brilliant. Yeah, really cool to have today. Hopefully, where we're getting some attention.
Bring it on.
Today.
Cheers, Sal.
Thank you, Sammy.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Podcast Network.